is go ahead and key up whenever you feel the urge to read. Chapter 61, Desire of Ages, page 552. Desire of Ages, of course, paragraph 1, and I guess the chapter is titled Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, however you want to say it. And as it's, this is what it says. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. A few miles from the Jordan, on the western edge of the valley that here spread out. What? I think there's a W missing. A few miles from the Jordan, on the western edge of the valley that here spread out to a plain. Okay. The city lay in the midst of tropic verdure and luxuriance of beauty. With its palm trees and rich gardens watered by living springs, it gleamed like an emerald in the setting of a limestone hills and desolate ravines that interposed between Jerusalem and the city of the plain. Many caravans on their way to the feast passed through Jericho. Their arrival was always a festive season, but now a deeper interest stirred the people. It was known that the Galilean rabbi, who had so lately brought Lazarus to life, was in the throng. And though whisperers were rife as to the plottings of the priests, the multitudes were eager to do him homage. Jericho was one of the cities anciently set apart for the priests, and at this time, large numbers of priests had their residence there. But the city had also a population of a widely different character. It was a greater center of traffic, and Roman officials and soldiers with strangers from different quarters were found there, while the collection of customs made it the home of many publicans. The chief among the publicans, Zacchaeus, was a Jew and detested by his countrymen. His rank and wealth were the reward of a calling they abhorred, and which was regarded as another name for injustice and extortion. Yet, the wealthy customs officer was not altogether the hardened man of the world that he seemed. Beneath the appearance of worldliness and pride was a heart susceptible to divine influences. Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus, the report of one who was born himself with kindness and courtesy toward the prescribed classes had spread far and wide. And this chief of the publicans was awakened to longing for a better life. Only a few miles from Jericho, John the Baptist had preached at the Jordan, and Zacchaeus had heard of the call to repentance. The instructions to the publicans exact no more than that which is appointed you, from Luke chapter 3:13, though outwardly disregarded, had impressed his mind. He knew the scriptures and was convicted that his practice was wrong. Now, hearing the words reported to have come from the great teacher, he felt that he was a sinner in the sight of God. Yet what he had heard of Jesus kindled hope in his heart. Repentance, reformation of life was possible even to him. Was not one of the new teacher's most trusted disciples a publican? And of course, he's speaking to Matthew. Zacchaeus began at once to follow the conviction that had taken a hold upon him and to make restitution to those whom he had wronged. Already he had begun thus to retrace his steps when the news sounded through Jericho that Jesus was entering the town. Zacchaeus determined to see him. He was beginning to realize how bitter are the fruits of sin and how difficult the path of him who tries to return from a course of wrong. To be misunderstood, to be met with suspicion and distrust in their effort to correct their errors was hard to bear. The chief publican longed to look upon the face of him whose words had brought hope to his heart. The streets were crowded, and Zacchaeus, who was small of stature, could see nothing over the heads of the people. None would give way for him, so running a little in advance of the multitude to where a wide branching fig tree hung over the way, the rich tax collector climbed to a seat among the boughs whence he could survey the procession as it passed below. I got to get better glasses. I keep seeing words melding into each other. I can't get this screen to get any larger for some reason. All right, the crowd comes near. It is going by, and Zacchaeus scans with eager eyes to discern the one figure he longs to see. Above the clamor of the priests and rabbis and the shouts of welcome from the multitude, that unuttered desire of the chief publican spoke to the heart of Jesus. Suddenly, just beneath the fig tree, a group halts. The company before and behind come to a standstill, and one looks upward. And notice it's a capital one looks upward, whose glance seems to read the soul. Almost doubting his senses, the man in the tree hears the words, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Okay, I think I saw Randy was up. I wanted to finish the page. Were you going to read, Randy, or? No, I thought you wanted to read. Oh, okay. Well, Chris will go. Yeah, because I was just going to go to the end of the page. All right, go ahead, Chris. Top of 554.
I got you. I had to go get a little water after that last read, so I'm ready to go again. Technical difficulties. Not at the computer wizard's house. Slate Rock. Okay, here we go. The multitude gave way, and Zacchaeus, walking as in a dream, leads the way toward his own home. But the rabbis look on with scowling faces and murmur in discontent and scorn that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus had been overwhelmed, amazed, and silenced at the love and condescension of Christ in stooping to him, so unworthy. Now love and loyalty to his newfound master unsealed his lips. He will make public his confession and his repentance. In the presence of the multitude, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." When the rich young ruler had turned away from Jesus, the disciples had marveled at their master's saying, "How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" They had exclaimed one to another, "Who then can be saved?" Now they had a demonstration of the truth of Christ's words, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God," from Mark 10:24 and 26 and from Luke 18:27. They saw how, through the grace of God, a rich man could indeed enter into the kingdom. Before Zacchaeus had looked upon the face of Christ, he had begun the work that made him manifest as a true penitent. Before being accused by man, he had confessed his sin, he had yielded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and had begun to carry out the teaching of the words written for ancient Israel as well as for ourselves. The Lord had said long before, "If thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Thou shalt not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God," from Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 37. Man, that is so astounding, and it's all in the Old Testament, too. These words had been spoken by Christ himself when he was enshrouded in the pillar of cloud, and the very first response of Zacchaeus to the love of Christ was in manifesting compassion toward the poor and suffering. Among the publicans, there was a confederacy, so they could oppress the people and sustain one another in their fraudulent practices. In their extortion, they were but carrying out what had become an almost universal custom. Even the priests and rabbis who despised them were guilty of enriching themselves by dishonest practices under the cover of their sacred calling. But no sooner did Zacchaeus yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit than he cast aside every practice contrary to integrity. No repentance is genuine that does not work reformation. I want to read that one more time. A lot of folks out there that I see claim the Lord, and then you watch them out in the bars, and you watch them doing some of the other things that are out there, and they show up on Sundays. They don't get this at all. No repentance is genuine. That does not work reformation, and that is so true. The righteousness of Christ is not a cloak to cover unconfessed and unforsaken sin. It is a presence principle of life that transforms the character and controls the conduct. Holiness is wholeness for God. It is the entire surrender of the heart and life to the indwelling of the principles of heaven. The Christian, in his business life, is to represent the world, represent to the world the manner in which our Lord would conduct business enterprises. Wow. In every transaction, he is to make it manifest that God is his teacher. Holiness unto the Lord is to be written upon daybooks and ledgers, on deeds, receipts, and bills of exchange. Those who profess to be followers of Christ and who deal in an unrighteous manner are bearing false witness against the character of a holy, just, and merciful God. Amen. Every converted soul will, like Zacchaeus, signal the entrance of Christ into his heart by an abandonment of the unrighteous practices that have marked his life. Like the chief publican, he will give proof of his sincerity by making restitution. The Lord says, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, none of the sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He shall surely live. Ezekiel 33:15. Go for it, Slade. We're right. Got about three paragraphs from the end.
Okie doke. Hello, everybody. And those on WTPR on the internet. Happy Sabbath. Am I getting through? I'm probably too loud. Let me turn this down here. Okay. Is that better? Alrighty, continuing. If we have injured others through any unjust business transaction, if we have overreached in trade or defrauded any man, even though it be within the pale of the law, we should confess our wrong and make restitution as far as lies in our power. And of course, this goes along with, you know, everything is written down, everything we do or say. And, angels write it all down. So we will take account of it all in the end. It is right for us to restore not only that which we have taken, but all that would have accumulated if put to a right and wise use during the time it has been in our possession. Desire of Ages 5:26.2. To Zacchaeus, the Savior said, Zacchaeus, the Savior said, this day is salvation come to this house. Not only was Zacchaeus himself blessed, but all his household with him. Christ went to his home to give him lessons of truth and to instruct his household in the things of the kingdom. They had been shut out from the synagogues by the contempt of rabbis and worshipers, but now the most favored household in all Jericho, they gathered in their own home about the divine teacher and heard for themselves the words of life. Desire of Ages 5:56.3. It is when Christ is received as a personal Savior that salvation comes to the soul. Zacchaeus had received Jesus not merely as a passing guest in his home, but as one to abide in the soul temple. The scribes and soul temple, of course, that means by the power of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That means God dwells within us when we accept Christ and choose to follow him. Continuing, the scribes and Pharisees accused him as a sinner. They murmured against Christ for becoming his guest, but the Lord recognized him as a son of Abraham. For they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. And does reference Desire of Ages 5:56.4. Of course, that means we are all grafted on that tree, on the tree of Israel, spiritual Israel. That's what that means. We're all of the seed of Abraham. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. I don't know if you want to do another one. I just checked the bandwidth. We're doing pretty good. I'm surprised with that much activity on WTPR that we're, it doesn't seem to be affecting it much. So maybe that's a good thing, you know, because I've never seen the activity jump on our own T1 before. You know, I've seen a jump before using someone else's T1, but I could never actually see, you know, the effects on the actual T1 or T3 or whatever they used. Good night, Sister Lynn. God bless. Is she leaving? Okay. All right. Good night. Sabbath blessings to you. Well, if everybody's, yeah. Okay, we'll keep Joan in prayer, I guess. All right. Will do. Rest assured. You're very welcome. It seems like there's a few people having a hard time staying in the room tonight. You know, of course, you got our friends out there in California. Marcus, he always seems to have a problem, and he's coming from Guatemala, so that could be any number of reasons there. Chrissy, I feel for her. She loves being in here, and she just moved, and now she's on dial-up. There's got to be something to help her out. I wonder what wireless would be in her area, because I don't think she can get DSL or nothing like that, because dial-up is, warp speed, that's what the girl needs. I think we could just read this one tomorrow or next time. Right. Oh, Arnold's leaving too. Good night, Arnold. God bless. Good night. Unless you're saying good night to somebody else. It's hard to keep track. Oh, he left. All right, so then he must be leaving too. All right. Okay. Let me turn off the...